This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Calling Grass Nation, we are conducting an audience survey at gum.fm/touchgrass. And we want to hear from you so that we can keep making content you love.
You know this. We know this. There are ads on our podcast. Mm-hmm. We want to improve that experience. But in order to do so, we need to know a little bit more about you, our audience. This survey is quick, easy, and a free way to support this podcast. It'll take 2 minutes and you'll be helping us out so much by doing it.
Yes, so go to gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our audience survey. That's gum.fm/touchgrass to fill out our survey. Thank you for using your precious time online to help us with our podcast.
We love you.
You've got mail.
Hi, I'm Lily Tamaris, and this is the Go Touch Grass podcast, the podcast where we log in so you can log off. Elisa and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this pod, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you don't have to. And if you like what you hear today and want to hear more, we got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already up and running with our test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series, Search History, where we go back in time and break down a viral discourse from the past. Please, please, please don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. Y'all, I did the housekeeping. Be proud of me. And as you noticed, Elise is not here to help me with the housekeeping because she's not here in studio today. Sadly, she is gone but not forgotten. But happily, she booked a commercial. Hello. So we are incredibly proud for her booking work, being hashtag booked and busy. But she did leave a statement for me to read. It says, statement from Elise. I am deeply saddened by the fact that I am not able to be on today's episode as I received a last-minute offer over the weekend to portray the role of, quote, non-speaking concert-goer with potential for upgrade in an upcoming commercial for a well-known phone provider. While it pains me to not be on the pod, I'm sure you will all understand that it was worth it once you see my performance as, quote, non-speaking concert goer with potential for upgrade in a commercial for a well-known cell phone provider, if it is not cut from the final edit. Please go touch even more grass than normal this week in my honor. Wow. But don't worry, y'all, because today I got a special guest / co-host. And she is my friend, comedian, fellow dog mom, and co-host of the very successful Celebrity Memoir Book Club podcast. Everyone, let's give a warm touch grass welcome to Ashley Hamilton. Woo, woo, woo.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yes, Ashley, are you ready to fill in Elisa's shoes?
I am so prepared. I have hands full of grass. I'm excited to break down the news.
Well, the point is that we don't touch grass. Our audience does because we are super online.
Oh, well, you guys can come touch mine.
Come touch mine. Yeah, because guess what? Flex on us. Ashley has a backyard in New York City. Hello.
I actually tried so hard to grow grass in it, and it, like, ruined my life. Oh. But next year is our year.
Yeah, next year is our year. 2025. That's what I said. Listen, Ashley, in research for this podcast, I want you to know, did you know that there's another Ashley Hamilton there? Ashley George Hamilton, who's an American actor, comedian, singer and songwriter who used to be married to Shannon Doherty.
Oh boy, did I. That man has tried for decades to ruin my search results, and I think I'm doing pretty good against him, but he's a Nepo baby, and so
yeah,
it's kind of hard. I actually have a photo of us together because I used to live in Los Angeles and we both lived in Studio City, California, and this, no offense, shout out to the USPS. I love you guys so much, but you're not that good at your job sometimes, because there were two Ashley Hamiltons in Studio City, California. Sometimes we would get each other's mail. Like the middle line on the address is different. We were on different streets, different addresses, obviously.
But how far?
Maybe like a mile. So
okay, Ashley.
It was fully different addresses, but like the top line and the bottom line were the same. Like same first name, last name, same city, state, zip.
So, but, you know, people move in within neighborhoods all the time. So I'm just.
Yeah. So anyway, but I got his license plate for his car.
No, that's pretty serious.
So I had to reach out to him on Instagram and say, like, hi, I'm another Ashley Hamilton and I live near you and I have your license plate for your car. And so we met.
Wow. You know what? My question was, I mean, he's pretty hot. So I'm like, would you fuck the other Ashley Hamilton?
Okay, so he actually kind of tried to fuck me, but he just had a baby. And I was like, this is actually kind of skeezing me out a bit. Weird, yeah. The other thing is that I am, this is like rumors, allegedly. Yeah, when I started comedy, he actually used to do stand-up. And so when I started stand-up in L.A., people were like looking at open mic sign-up sheets and thinking he was back. And apparently he slept around a lot when he used to do comedy and may have spread things.
Oh, geez.
So they were like, oh, no, not him again. And I was like, no, it's me, a girl.
Yeah. Damn. So there, you know.
We're connected in many ways.
It's not out of the question. Someday. That you can be the Taylor Lautners of the future, where you could call yourselves Ashley Hamiltons.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Taylor Lautner's wife, Taylor, changed her name to Lautner, and they just call themselves Taylor Squared.
I do know that, and that really freaks me out, but I also, it's something to aspire to, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I ever meet a guy with the last name Vanilli, you know, I got to.
Yes.
It'll be Milli Vanilli. Ashley, you're the host of, in case you didn't get it, I know there's highbrow comedy here that, you know, it goes over our audience's head. Ashley, you're one of the hosts of Celebrity Memoir Book Club. Like, I really love the podcast. Tell us about the show and how it came to be.
Well, we started this is actually me and Claire's third podcast together. So we have been podcasting for a long time, failing up and down the block. I mean, we had some fun. We did a Britney Spears podcast, and then we stopped it when all of like the rumors and information about her conservatorship started coming about.
Yeah, then it got weird. Yeah,
it got so weird, and we joke around, and we were like, oh, this is actually a lot to joke about. Yeah. I think it might be inappropriate. Yeah. I don't have that many lines, but that feels like one that I didn't want to cross. So we didn't. We ended the Taylor Swift. I mean, why did I say Taylor Swift? She's on my mind. Yeah. I can't. They're really trying to insert her in
here. Well, we said Taylor Lautner and
a lot of Taylors.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
So we ended the Britney Spears podcast and we started another podcast that was kind of about friendship and relationships. And then no one listened to that either. Yeah. And we wanted to talk about pop culture again, but we didn't want to get back into another Britney Spears situation. Mm-hmm. And people have been talking a lot about the way that, you know, we kind of like ruined every woman's life for a long time if she was famous. And so then we decided to do celebrity memoirs because these are books that they're putting out about themselves. And so we're not like digging through someone's trash and hypothesizing about them. We're reading the information that they wanted and judging them based off that, the information they wanted us to know.
Yeah. I mean, I really like, because, you know, I am curious and stuff about celebrity lives and like their stories, but also like, I don't want to read like a fucking million. Like, how many books do you read? So, yeah, what I like about your podcast, for people who aren't familiar, is that every episode you take a different celebrity memoir and you and Claire will recap it and like, yeah, editorialize. And I really liked your Constance episode. I really, you know, again, I listened to the Constance episode right when I met you.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is so good. The Constance one, the Matthew Perry one, which was before he died, which is like, wow. Like, good that you said it before he died, because it was not a good memoir.
It was not a good memoir. But people keep on saying, like, do you take back what you said now that he's dead? And I'm like, I think, okay, no offense, everyone will die.
Yeah. So. Hot take from Ashley. Hot take.
Rumor has it.
Everyone will die one day. But whether you're dead or not, if you're a misogynist.
It's just something I don't like about you.
Yeah. And I mean, he clearly did not, you know, respect women as entities. Yeah. Whereas Siobhan said at her dad's funeral in Succession, he couldn't have fit a whole woman in his head. And that was also true about Matthew Perry. Okay, Ashley, in addition to slaying as a podcast, Celebrity Memoir Book Club also slays on TikTok. What do you think was the key to your success on TikTok?
Oh, man, I think that we joined at a very interesting time when just like certain trending topics would pop off. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have to be on TikTok shop to go viral. I mean, that is kind of crazy that they've turned it into like SkyMall or something. Yeah. But one thing that's really important is posting different kinds of videos. Like, our podcast clips don't always do great unless they're bookended by us just like sharing person to camera takes about pop culture news.
Yeah.
And I feel like people learning us as people and then seeing the podcast clips and then seeing like vlogs and things like that, yeah. I think kind of helps just like vary it and for us to find what people are even liking in that moment, because I think the types of clips that do well vary like week by week. And so having a bunch of different kinds of content to like pick up different types of people who like different things mm-hmm. helps a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So diversify your content.
Yeah.
That's great tip. That's a solid tip. I'm obsessed.
Hell yeah.
This is fucking professional. This is a professional. Of all the memoirists you've read, are there any that you think do social media really well? And also, like, second question, what do you think makes for a good celebrity social media presence?
I mean, Julia Fox.
Julia Fox. Yeah, that is a good.
Incredible.
And you were just talking about her interview, which is.
Yeah, so... I was just talking about how unprofessional I was and the recording stopped.
That's like a tech part of it.
I know.
Everything tech issues happen. You weren't unprofessional. You just had a tech issue.
That's so true. Actually so professional.
Yeah, you're so professional. So Julia Fox, continue.
Oh, yeah. I think she has an incredible social media presence. I think that she does such a good job of just putting things out there and not really caring if people. I don't know how to say it. Like, I think that people think that they're a lot smarter than her and they're not. Mm-hmm. And I think she doesn't care. Like, I think that if people are thinking something about her that she doesn't want them to think, instead of like stressing herself out by being like, no, you guys, this is what I meant. She just like keeps on living. And I think that she just like puts things out there, makes an impact, and then keeps on skating by.
Yeah. I feel like with her, like, that's such a good example because she's someone who's transparent and vulnerable and honest, but not in a way that makes you uncomfortable or you feel like she's oversharing.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, like, which I, you know, again, you see her little one bedroom New York apartment. And
I mean, I think she just moved into somewhere fancy.
Well,
but of course
she should.
Everyone was like, why do you live in this one bedroom apartment?
I mean, honestly, my apartment was nicer than that apartment. But like, again, that she showed it and she showed like, this is where my son. But honestly, he sleeps with me. But also like, that's a real New York thing. And like, she's a real New Yorker. So I think that like real New York thing. That attitude of like not caring. I mean, you know, that's something. I mean, it's for a different reason why people don't assume. I struggle with that because I think that's something that I've come up against, you know, probably because of race and gender. Like people kind of not assuming that I'm like, I'm not a serious person. And also like, I'm not as smart as, you know, and like that's something. But like. At a certain point, it's like, they're just going to think that no matter what. So it's like, you can't really. That's like, you know, it's a lot of struggle that black women go through of like, well, I don't want to be too angry because I don't want to be the angry black woman. But it's like, they're going to think that anyway. You got to just fucking live your life.
Yeah.
So that's like a really good, even though it's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
Really,
I mean, cool. That's, I like look at her and I'm like, I just have to live and hope people, like hope the message gets across. But I mean, when people call me stupid on the internet, I freak out. Like, I don't know how to.
It's hard.
You know, handle
it's
it hard good.
Because you want to be like, no, I'm not. Like, what? But at the same time, it's like, yeah, that's not it's on me. That's
so
on
much
you.
Easier said than done.
But it's so much easier, but it's a good practice.
We gotta work on it. Because do you know what I think it is? I think there's a really distinct air of she doesn't need people to be watching.
Yeah.
I think she's like doing things and putting them out there, and people are like, oh my God, you're so desperate for attention. But I think she's like having fun with it. And it's nice that people are paying attention because I think she makes a lot of money now.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's this vibe of like, watch or don't. I don't even care. If you think I'm stupid and you want me to stop talking, then go away.
Yeah. And again, it's because like, it's so rooted in just doing the things that she enjoys. Like, it's not a bunch of spawn con or trying to keep up with trends and stuff. She's like, I'm going to wear 3 belts as a dress and I'm going to go support my friend's art show and I'm going to hang out with the gays and theys and the girlies. What do you think makes for a good social media presence besides, you know? So you said Julia Fox is the best like social media, but like what makes for a good like celeb social media presence? We're going to talk about a bad social media presence later. Ugh,
so many celebrities have such bad social media presence.
But what's a good one?
Also try hard now.
Yeah, it is.
But I think that what makes good social media presence is like that air of like, I have a really cool life and I'm doing really cool stuff and you can look at it.
Yes.
But I don't need you to look at it because my life is cool regardless.
Yes. Yeah, it's like that balance of like, look at my cool life, but also not everything is spun.
Yeah.
And like,
and which, not everything's perfect.
And not everything's perfect, which is kind of like, I feel that way about Beyonce's thing, where it's like people are like, Beyonce only talks to us when she wants us to talk. Like, you know what I mean? But now it's like so measured that it's just everything's spun.
Yeah.
Like she only posts when there's a new collection, and I'm like, this isn't fun.
Like, there's so many social media, like celebrity social media accounts. I just, even if I really like that person or that band or that group or whoever, I would never follow them because you're not getting anything from their social media presence. Yeah. It's not inspiring. It's not interesting. It's not like,
yeah,
there's nothing going on. It's just ads.
Yeah. I feel like Garcelle from Real Housewives, like, I feel like her, I mean, I'll get it in my feed. I don't follow her, but I'm like, oh, like I'm seeing pictures of your kids and like, oh, you went out to pizza or something, like a little different than, you know, what the fuck we're seeing. But
yeah. Yeah. When every single post is like a photo shoot that had 10 people working on it.
Boring.
Just like, okay.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, now we're going to get into the episode.
Ooh.
So we have two updates, right? The first one is in our famous, a few weeks ago, the Grassholes of the Week were Stanley Cup fans. And now there have been a few studies that there's lead in the Stanley Cups. So there's going to be a whole generation of millennial women that have lead poisoning.
Oh, good.
So let's watch that space with the lead thing. People are doing their own testing, lead like kits at home and everything. And it's quite disturbing.
That is not good news for those cups. I guess I can't believe how hard that company is going to go down because of the way it like got so cemented as a trend.
Yeah.
It could have just been a fine cup.
Yeah. Well, we were saying that the cups are actually like sturdy and good. I mean,
it survived that car accident.
It survived the fucking car fire. Exactly.
I guess because it's lead.
And that's what, you know, listen, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. So that's the Stanley Cup update. Then there's, of course, a 9-month cruise update. Our friend Mark Sebastian, and he's not really our friend, he's just an influencer that went on for 18 days. Mark Sebastian has left the cruise. Ugh. So you can follow his Instagram about like his overall reflections. Very interesting. But there has been an alleged, if you have the bingo card of things that happened on the 9-month cruise, there has been an alleged fist fight on the 9-month cruise, which is above the square that says somebody getting knocked up or pregnant on the 9-month cruise. And there has been clarification that there is a woman who is pregnant on the 9-month cruise, but she knew that she was pregnant before she started. So that doesn't count as a bingo card.
Wait a second. She knew she was pregnant and she got on a 9-month cruise.
Listen, people are making decisions,
you know,
that we cannot control.
Live your life, my friend.
Live your life. But yes, there's a woman who's pregnant and she has to get off when she hits the 6-month mark. So
wow.
Because they don't have prenatal care on the 9-month cruise.
Why would they?
But there's also, and apparently the alleged fist fight was also due to like some infidelity, but you know, that's, we can't like clarify.
Oh my god, you got on a 9-month cruise and you didn't expect a single swing?
Yeah, I mean, hello, because I do see pineapples. There are pineapples, which pineapples is the universal term for swingers and open. I went on a cruise, you know, me and Elise talk about it a lot because we have a friend who works at a cruise company, and she hooks it up. And I went on a cruise and it was like an adults only cruise, and I just thought everyone was so nice to me. And I was like, there was this couple who was like, oh my God, this woman came up to me. She's like, my husband loves your tattoo. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. And like a lot of couples were buying me drinks. And I'm like, God, everyone's so nice here. And then later my friend was like, oh, like there's a swinger problem on this. And I was like, oh my God, they were trying to like seduce me. Damn. I was like, propositioned
a lot. It was working.
Wow. No, I was just like, wow, everyone's so cool. This couple from Arkansas really wants me to.
I'm making so many friends.
I'm making a lot of friends, including this like pilot. Okay. So those are our updates.
Good updates.
But Ashley, let's get into the discourse. And the discourse is the segment of the show where we talk and we break down one big online conversation and we share what's the takes are, what the backlash is, the backlash to the backlash. So there's a lot, you know, that's in our segment called The Discourse. Our discourse today takes us to the world of film Twitter.
Yay.
Ashley, before we get started, what's your involvement with film Twitter and films in general? I feel like you're kind of off Twitter, but just in general, like, what's your kind of thing with film and movies and all that?
Okay, so I majored in film.
Okay.
And have hardly seen a movie since.
Wow, okay.
I, like, studied movies, and then I feel like being involved in so much film discourse, being in, like, a program for it, made me so annoyed by movies mm-hmm. and the way people talk about movies when they think they know something about movies that I only recently started really seeing movies again, like, this year. And I mean, obviously, I've seen movies and, like, watched movies on, you know,
streaming
services and stuff like that. But there's, like, a lot over the last several years that I haven't really seen, but I've spent a lot of time in, like, film discourse because I, like, went to school with people who thought that their whole personality was having seen movies.
That has to be annoying. You spend so much time in this space, you
especially
don't
like 19-year-old bros being like, you don't understand Stanley Kubrick.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Yeah, exactly. Well, last week the Academy announced its nominations for the 2024 Oscars, and while there were some great nominations, people were disappointed by some obvious snubs, mainly for the movie Barbie. Now, although Barbie was nominated for 8 Oscars, the two main snubs that people were disappointed in was that Greta Gerwig wasn't nominated for Best Director and Margot Robbie wasn't nominated for Best Actress. People were pissed about this, and there was a lot of tweets about this. It's misogyny. It's trying to put the woman behind Barbie in their place. Men are mad that women made a film about misogyny and it was the biggest film of the year. Greta Gerwig has been nominated for Best Picture multiple times, and she's currently nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay. But if she won it, she'd have to share it with her husband because she wrote Barbie with a man, with Noah Baumbach. Yeah. Ryan Gosling getting an Oscar nomination and Margot Robbie getting none proves the movie's point, and the Academy is doing exactly what the movie was about. So, Ashley, was it sexist for the Oscars to snub Barbie?
No. First of all, to say that it's insane to nominate a movie for Best Picture and then not director or actress is, no offense, kind of stupid, because there are 10 movies in the Best Picture category and 5 movies in the other two categories she mentioned. So based on those numbers, there are always going to have to be movies that get nominated for Best Picture and don't always get nominations in those other categories, because not every movie that is nominated for Best Picture can be nominated in every category based on literally just numbers. That's just not how numbers works. You can't have 10 movies that always get nominated for 5 of other awards.
Yeah. No, I get it. So you're saying no. I guess I kind of see the argument, because Greta Gerwig has been nominated for Best Picture this is like her third time. And I don't even think she's actually made a statement, but I'm like, yeah, I'd kind of be kind of pissed too. But it's not like a snub. Like, she is getting recognition in other ways.
I guess I feel like this whole thing of like Greta and Margot deserving these awards is so goofy because, yeah, like you just said, they are getting recognition in other categories. I think that if Margot had been nominated for Best Actress, I wouldn't have been like, oh my God, that makes no sense. But I also am not like, oh, that was a Best Actress nominee performance. Like, I looking at it, I'm like, it could have gone either way. I don't know. I didn't think it was like the greatest acting I've ever seen in my life, but I also didn't think it was not deserving of an award or a nomination.
Yeah.
But, and the same with the directing. I don't know. I feel like it was overall, I also hate the argument that it was the biggest movie of the year, because there are so many times. I mean, how many Marvel movies have been nominated for Best Actor? Like, it's just the biggest movie of the year is not always the winningest movie of the year. That's just, there's always been Oscar movies versus box office hits. Yeah. That's just been two different categories for so many years.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of time, I think. And I personally have been very of the stance that movies should be fun, and it annoys me that Oscar movies have to be so doom and gloom, and then like a movie like Legally Blonde is never going to win an Oscar.
Yeah, but well, they just don't respect comedy either, which is a whole other...
They don't respect comedy
at all. Put a pin in that discourse, but...
They don't respect comedy. They don't respect women. They don't respect fun.
Yeah.
But I do feel like if we are going to start respecting comedy, women, and fun, I don't think the Barbie movie is the best movie I've ever seen that does comedy, feminism, like joy.
It's hard because I do understand, like, on one end, it's kind of the argument with Beyonce, right? Is that Beyonce has never won Album of the Year, but she's won literally every other Grammy, and she has, like, at least almost 30 Grammys, probably, like, in the 20s.
Who won the year Lemonade came out?
Adele. So it's like it always goes to white people. It 1 year went to Beck instead of the Beyonce self-titled, then 1 year went to Taylor Swift, then 1 year went to Adele, like the three times that she was nominated. On one end, it's like these award shows are stupid, they have no respect, they have this racist, misogynist history. On the other end, it's like, fuck, like, what do you have to do to get, like, album, you know?
The difference with the Beyonce thing is that some of those albums, like, could have totally been Album of the Year, whereas, like, Barbie, like, should have been Album of the Year. Like, they were albums of the year, whereas Barbie, I'm like...
But Barbie was movie of the... It fucking made so much money.
But that's the thing, is it made so much money. But, like,
yeah, exactly,
it kind of made no sense.
Well, yeah, that's an argument. I'm like, I loved it, but I also...
enjoyed it. No, but the fact that people are like, it's this great artistic achievement.
Well, that's a whole other thing, is, like... Is Barbie the stand-in for all feminist movement? And, like, there is that critique because... You know, Anatomy of a Fall is very feminist and very much about, like, how we view victims and women and all that stuff. And it's also about how French courtrooms are fucking insane. I do not ever want to go to court in France. It seems crazy.
I hope
there's
we
a
never
lot of
do.
Cross fucking talk. It's nuts.
I also feel kind of sad that this whole conversation is overshadowing the shit out of America Ferrera's nomination.
Well,
the way that people keep on spazzing about Margot Robbie not being nominated, and they keep on saying Barbie wasn't nominated, but Ken was. Barbie wasn't nominated,
so
but Ken was.
You know,
and
it's like, but women.
America Ferrera was nominated. And this is, like, a huge deal for, like, a lot of us millennial women who came up with America Ferrera on
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
You know, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
And as a Latina, Real Women Have Curves, which was, that was a cultural reset for me. It's like, whoa, like, a fat Latina, like, sleeping with it. Like, it was so, I don't know. America
she
Ferrera.
Was, like, just such a huge part of so many big pop culture moments for, like, girls who are our age. And then for her to have this Oscar nomination is such a huge deal. And everyone is acting like it does not fit the narrative at all. So people just aren't even mentioning it.
Well, see, Ashley, this is why you're filling Lisa's shoes, because you're so professional. You're fucking getting to our next segment, which is backlash to the backlash.
Yes.
Right? And that's, so the backlash, right? Oscars did the nomination. The original backlash was like, this is sexist. And then there's a backlash to the backlash, which people are saying that this energy is very white woman focused and that it's only a big deal because Greta Gerwig and Margot are white. But calling out their snubs, you're ignoring both of the very talented women of color who did get nominated. And then our friend Hillary Clinton made a statement.
This was the real turning point.
This was the real turning point. And it said, Greta, and while it can sting to win the box office but not take home the gold, your millions of fans love you. You're both so much more than enough. Hashtag Hillary Barbie. Now, here's my question to open up this discussion. Ashley, you are following... I would also in your comedian podcast host dog mom, I would also put activist. Has Hillary Clinton made a statement against the genocide in Palestine?
No, she has not.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like, so what do you think of all this? And what are you, you know, and Hillary, again, it was a turning point. People were pissed.
I guess. Okay. Here's my big problem is, first of all, there is a genocide that the United States is funding that is happening right now. If we want to talk about women, there are a lot being murdered right now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
But second of all, if we're not even gonna broach, you know, global politics, international politics, whatever, what about in, I don't know, these United States of America, where, like, every single week there are other bills being passed in various states to roll back women's rights?
Abortion,
and guess who is not talking about those? Hillary Clinton, first of all, but also Greta Gerwig. Also, okay. Margot, I mean, they're not this has been a real thing for me the last couple of weeks because people are so obsessed with like the Barbie movie, you know, making feminism real for all women, whatever. But there are so many horrible things happening to women just in the United States. Like, yeah, we could go global because shit's bad. But if we just want to focus in right here.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, I feel like it's very complicated to say what people are expected to talk about and what people aren't expected it's to talk about. Of course,
like,
no one's
you
expected.
You could walk and chew gum and, like, you know, be like, well, if you only talk about Barbie, you can't focus on anything else. But it's like, yeah, but, you know, you should, like, bring up abortion rights, Greta,
I just feel like for
something.
These women to be walking around on every major red carpet that our pop culture, you know, world has to offer and making these statements and accepting these awards and not for one second mentioning, like, the work that still needs to be done to, like, liberate women.
Yeah.
Is a bit disingenuous, if you ask me. And so for that, I really have beef with Greta Gerwig right now.
Wow, beef with Greta Gerwig.
Because
she
just keeps on standing up here saying, like, oh, this is for, you know, women who need to be seen and this and that. And I'm like, okay, well, there are a lot of very specific women that we need to shine a spotlight on right now because they're being, like, sued for miscarrying.
Yeah, sued for miscarrying, arrested for miscarrying. It's illegal to get abortions. And if we're not even talking about, if you don't even want to get to fucking abortion, you know, which shouldn't be controversial. It's healthcare,
shouldn't
whatever.
Be controversial.
That's the official Go Touch Grass take. If you don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
Black women will, like, four times likely to die when giving birth. There's, like, the child care tax shit, like, where, you know, we used to have a child care tax, like, where parents were getting, like, $300 a month per child that was really getting women and children out of poverty, and then they fucking took that back. Like, there's a lot of issues that Greta could make a little cute statement about
in her thing.
I just think
to have these platforms to be the biggest movie of the year and not be saying anything that actually helps a woman.
Yeah.
Really? Like, it's really nice that people felt seen on screen.
Yeah.
That's good. But, like, tangibly, there are a lot of just, like, basic statements that could be made. If she did some retweets, it would make a huge difference.
It would,
if she's
it would.
Not. And so I'm like, I don't know, man. Maybe you just don't get your best director nomination. Sorry.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths but have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction like The Women by Kristen Hanna. And Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
You got mail. Yeah, and that really reminds me, you know, you're talking about celebrities who are good at social media, but I'm like, celebrities who are good at this, like, to me, is Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny is extremely good at using his platform. Is he perfect? Is he this? Is he that? No, but, like, one of his music video releases, because, you know, no, Un Verano Sin Ti was, like, the biggest album of 2022. And, you know, one of his music videos, you go on YouTube, you click it, it's 25-minute song. You're like, what the fuck is this video? The first 3 minutes are his music video. And the next 24 is all about displacement in Puerto Rico, environmental issues, laws that need to be passed, all the protests, everything. Like, he's really, really good at using his platform and constantly, like, you know, again, when there was a hurricane in Puerto Rico, like if you went to his concert, which was one of the biggest concerts that was like, so, you know, now everyone's focusing on Taylor Swift. But like in 2022, that was that Bad Bunny that was doing those numbers and all that shit. And if you went to his concert, you would get a bracelet with a QR code that immediately you can donate money to. You know what I mean?
It's yeah.
Like, he was so good and so strategic about elevating and bringing that issue to the national stage, even though, you know, again, he's using his platform. So that's someone that I'm like, yeah, like you could do even a little bit of that, Greta.
A little bit. Margo. Like there are some people who do a lot. Like even someone who does a little bit is Dua Lipa. I mean, I don't want to say a little bit in a, like a disparaging way. Like I feel like she makes her stance very known and she like is doing something pretty, I think she's doing a really good job.
Yeah.
And speaking of snubs for the Oscars, people are saying that her song didn't get nominated for the Barbie movie because she's pro-Palestine. And that I would believe, and that I would say, damn. Oscars, that's a snub. She should have been nominated.
I think that song was bigger than I'm Just Ken.
Huge.
Yeah.
It was a radio hit. I hear it all the time still.
I love it. I did enjoy Barbie. I'm like, I love this world. I'm such a Dua Lipa stan. I'm just like, you know, that dance, like, scene, I was like, shit. Yeah, I know. So it's fucked up. And also, yeah, there's so many pop stars and there's so many pop stars and movie stars and stuff that are able to make a stance, but also do their thing. And she's not.
And she's and not, I'll say, and Hillary's not.
And Hillary's not, but you know what? I'll say this. America does.
America does.
America, like, not necessarily about women's issues, but she's out here for Latino. She's trying to green light. And this is the shit that kind of bothers me. It's like, I know, because it's fucking hard, because as a Latina, and Elise could tell you too, it's really hard to get anything on. They cancel shows. She directed the season 2 of Gentified, and she really like puts her chips to like really go for a bat for up and coming Latino talent.
And her having an Oscar would do so much for that. Whereas like what happens if Margot Robbie wins an Oscar? No offense. Like I like Margot Robbie, but.
Well, Australians everywhere can finally be seen.
Thank God. H2O the movie. I need it. I actually love that show.
But yeah, exactly. Like, you know, that's the thing is like we talk about a lot. Like there is no Taika Waititi or Issa Rae or like cool Latino auteur director person that makes a bunch of movies that elevates like Latinos, and it's not because there aren't trying, like Eva Longoria, America, there, even Zoe Saldana, like they are trying, but there is no Latino with that much power and pool yet, you know. So hopefully this Oscar will help her like keep a fucking thing, like a show about Latino people that isn't about drugs on a streaming platform for more than 2 seasons. Like, we'll see. From my lips to God's mouth. And now, speaking of God, we're going to cursed content. Him. You love God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to cursed content. And this is our segment where we bring content that is cursed. Uh-oh. Content that makes us question the very nature of the world around us. And today, our cursed content is the Christian crypto bro scammer. Today, we bring you the story of Colorado-based online pastor Eli Regalado and his wife, Caitlin, who are currently facing charges for a multi-million-dollar crypto scheme that he peddled to his followers. The complaint alleges that they targeted their followers to sell, quote, unsafe and unsecure crypto, telling their congregants that God was personally overseeing the crypto and had a hand in its growth. The Regalados first began selling their cryptocurrency called Index Coin to the Denver Christian community in June 2022, raising nearly $3.2 million for more than 300 individuals by April 2023, so in less than a year. The couple not only marketed the currency, which was called illiquid and practically worthless, in the legal complaint to their parishioners, but also sold it only through Kingdom Wealth Exchange, an online cryptocurrency platform that they, quote, created, controlled, and operated. Part of this marketing was telling followers and potential investors that God had spoken directly to Eli and told him to create the crypto and that investors would become wealthy. The exchange lost millions, but he and his wife pocketed $1.3 million, some of which was used to remodel their home, purchase a Range Rover, buy luxury handbags, jewelry, an au pair, boat rentals, and snowmobile rides. Let's listen to Eli explain in his own words what happened.
Caitlin and I are being charged in a civil charge from the Colorado Securities and Exchange Commission for basically selling millions of dollars worth of cryptocurrency that is deemed worthless by the state. Now, the reason that they're saying that it's worthless is because there is no exit for people who have bought. We launched an exchange, the exchange technology failed, things went downhill, and from that point forward, we've just been waiting on the Lord literally for a miracle. So the charges are that Caitlin and I pocketed $1.3 million, and I just want to come out and say that those charges are true. So there's been $1.3 million that's been taken out of, I think it was a total of $3.4 million. But out of that $1.3, half a million dollars went to the IRS, and a few hundred thousand dollars went to a home remodel that the Lord told us to do. So how this whole thing started is the Lord told us in 21 to walk away from our marketing company, and he said, I'm going to do a new thing. And then he took us into this cryptocurrency. It was a different cryptocurrency other than index coin at the time. Well, that cryptocurrency turned out to be a scam. And so the Lord says, give that to him, but also give them a 10x. And I'm like, well, where's this liquidity going to come from? And the Lord says, trust me. Well, as money is coming in, we would be sowing it. And at first it was hundreds of dollars and thousands of dollars, then tens of thousands of dollars. Money would come in, we tithe, we sow, more money would come in. And so we were just always under the impression that God was going to provide, that the source was never ending, that God was doing a new thing, and that we had nothing to worry about. And we sold a cryptocurrency with no clear exit. We did. We took God at his word and sold a cryptocurrency with no clear exit. And so the prosecutors have to take that and say, these people willingly sold a cryptocurrency with no clear exit. What we're praying for and what we're believing for still is that God is going to do a miracle. God is going to work a miracle in the financial sector.
Well, Ashley, after hearing what Eli had to say about his own crypto exchange failure, would you take advice, financial advice from the Lord?
Okay, I actually just feel like he's too busy right now. Like, it's so crazy to think that God has time for, like, a crypto sector. I don't actually know anything about cryptocurrency.
It's pretty fucked. And one of my favorite, like, podcasts was about Sam Bankman-Fried. And if you're interested in crypto at all, like, or just, like, how it's a scam and all this shit, like, definitely listen. It's by Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but basically, like, usually people can, you know, buy, again, I'm not, first of all, this isn't a crypto podcast. We have sex and we hang out with people, so absolutely not. But also, my understanding is typically you can buy crypto and, like, invest or whatever and, like, what, but, and
it's
then.
It's just like an unregulated stock market, right?
It's an unregulated stock market, and usually there's
and
a
you're
platform.
Buying stocks in nothing. You're buying stocks in, like, invisible
things.
Coins.
Yeah, but also, so it's supposed to, like, double and triple, and then usually when it's on, I think what's super egregious is, like, not only did they, like, make up this fake crypto shit, they also put it on a platform that they controlled. So even if, you know, they had all this money and this access, it's like, put all this money in the bank, and even the bank is fake, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it'd be such an evil thing to do if they had come up with it, but God did, so.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So it's not their fault. Yeah, exactly. I'm just like.
It's such a funny thing to say. To
I
be
know.
Like,
it's like blaming God.
We assumed God would provide. God told us to do this. We had to remodel our house because God said your house should be cuter.
I know, and I'm also like, you're blaming God on this? Like, what a fucking defense. Like, the fucking, and this is why it's cursed, because, like, it exists and it's a dark thing of, like, people will use God's name for anything.
For anything. And it really, I wish I was religious, because I feel like I could get away with so much more.
Well, if you're a religious guy, yeah, I'm just like, well, God wanted my wife to get implants, so I'm
yeah.
Just like, if someone's like, the universe told me to invest, it's like, I'd be like, yeah, no, that sounds real. But I'm like, you're blaming God, dog, and you're name calling him and all that stuff, bro.
God would not recognize you in a
lineup.
In a lineup.
But also, I'm like, bro, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
And that you could talk about. But like somebody like him, I'm like, he'd do well in jail. It's like Jen Shah. I'm like, I knew. I'm like, Jen Shah is going to kill it. Like, yeah. She's going to have so much fucking fun. She has so much. And guess what? She's doing shamazing abs in jail. She's teaching classes and she's hanging out with Elizabeth Holmes.
Like Teresa Giudice did great in jail. She came out looking incredible.
Exactly. I'm like, there are some people. It was like in Kimmy Schmidt when like that one girl who's like was really into the cult that went to jail. And like kind of, I love that they overlapped with Orange is the New Black. But I'm also like, some people love the camaraderie, like automatic community and camaraderie and like scammy and all that shit. Like, there's this TikToker that I like who just like, she was in jail for a long time or something. And she just talks about like mistakes, like don't do in jail. I don't know. There's a lot of jail.
There's a couple jail girls that I follow. Yeah, I love them. They're also pretty.
They're also pretty. And they're like, don't look anyone in the eye. If somebody forgot their sweater, don't say shit. Like, and I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. Like, but I'm like,
Crypto I was watching her do one about like how to make your bed more comfy in jail, and I was like, oh, good, gotta remember this.
Yeah, I gotta remember. Well, my brother, when he got out of jail, he made us like one day, like he made us snacks that he would eat in jail, and like it was fascinating. Like he would take a pack of Oreos, grind it up, and you put a little bit of water and put it in the microwave, and it does come out like a mug cake, wow. like consistency of cake. So it's just like, wow.
Innovative.
You know what I mean? And I'm just saying, Crypto Bro, God will be in jail waiting for you.
You better start watching jail TikToks and get some tips.
I know. And also, speaking of jail TikToks, have you seen the ones with the felons like doing personals ads? Like, I mean, like, I'm obsessed with them. They're so funny. And some of these guys are hot and they're like, hey guys, I'm in jail for the next year, like send me money in my commissary, let's chat, like let's this and that, I'll send you letters and all this stuff, and it goes viral. Like,
oh my god,
if you look up on TikTok Idaho jail like inmates like whatever and they put their JPay number, it's like a whole thing.
Incredible. So. I wonder, I hope that when this guy gets sentenced, I hope the judge goes, God spoke to me and requested that you spend the next 5 years in prison.
Yeah, I mean, you can say anything. This is his plan. I know. Like, can you imagine being his kid being like, Dad, God said I could fucking move out. Or God said that you have to let me, whatever, have sex before marriage or whatever. So no crypto advice from God then.
Actually. I don't think that is... Okay, can I say, if God is giving crypto advice, I would like to have a word with him or her and say, you should work on other stuff right now.
There's a lot going on, God. God, bring an Oscar to
please.
Oscar. God, there's a lot going on. Like, Greta Gerwig needs an Oscar. God, are you listening? All right. I get struck by lightning immediately. Stop playing. Stay. What is it? Put some respect on my name.
He's real.
Yeah, he's real, bitch. Okay. Speaking of God. Ashley. Okay. This brings us to Grasshole of the Week. Ooh. Which is our segment where we declare the person online this week who needs to log off and touch the grass the most. Okay. Sometimes it's loving, like, please go touch grass, Selena Gomez. And sometimes it's not, and you're concerned.
Selena Gomez, it feels both to me.
Yeah, well, I mean, in a hateful, like, the
I'm
guy.
I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, the guy who, again, I love the guy who sued 30 women for the Are We Dating the Same Guy? Facebook group, that guy that was a hateful go touch grass. I'm gonna say this week's grasshole was obvious yet controversial. Not because she shouldn't touch grass, but because if you say anything critical of her, her fans are so insane they will literally dox you. Awesome. So I've been monitoring the situation for a while before the events of this weekend. And already I was going to say that Nicki Minaj was going to be grasshole off rip like last Tuesday.
Okay.
Because she was already acting up. And what got me to say that is because Nicki Minaj has been feuding with a TikTok account that shares blind items, which is like people leaving anonymous. Could you explain blind items for the audience, actually?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, dark web rumors about celebrities.
Yeah, so that's called blind, and it's like usually anonymous. So there's this one TikTok account that shares blind items, and I guess they shared one about Nicki Minaj. And Nicki Minaj has been leaving hundreds of comments on this woman's TikTok and harassing this poor woman. And I'm just going to play a short clip of this woman who's like, completely shocked.
So there were so many comments from Nicki Minaj on my most recent post, which confirms that she was calling me an ugly disease in her DMs. And these comments are just as unhinged, and I am not sure what the hell she's talking about. So the first one reads, allegedly close your legs to married men. You are allegedly racist. Second one says, you can't embarrass me because there's nothing you can say that people haven't heard, but now I'll share your alleged tea and the executives funding you. Allegedly, you do drugs with a married executive, allegedly, and God is about to pull you down to the pits of hell until you apologize, allegedly. Allegedly, stop allegedly sleeping with married men, allegedly. Your karma is near. My prophecies are always spot on. Repent, wicked woman. Repent.
Okay, so the thing is about this blind item account is that the profile picture on the blind item account is of Ariana Grande. So there are people speculating that Nicki Minaj thinks that Ariana Grande is the one posting these celebrity blind items. And she's running the celebrity blind items TikTok. Cause the woman who runs that account, she's like, executives aren't paying me. I'm just doing this TikTok. And then someone's like, no, your Avi, your profile picture on TikTok is of Ariana Grande. And that's why she's saying, like, close your legs to married men and all that stuff, which, you know, clearly Ariana Grande has been doing. Yes. And but the fact that Nicki Minaj thinks that Ariana Grande is running a celebrity blind item TikTok, she's clearly unwell.
She's clearly unwell. I will say the allegedly thing is really funny because in blind items culture, they say allegedly all the time to like avoid
getting sued.
And so it's like a very blind items culture word. So for Nicki, like, that is funny.
Yeah, that's funny. She's unwell. She's cracking jokes. But then, so already I was like, Nicki Minaj just lost it. Like, she has to go touch grass.
Oh, yeah.
But then on Friday night, Megan Thee Stallion released a song called Hiss, where she takes multiple shots at people, but doesn't name names. And to be fair, this song is in response to basically a lot of people in the industry. People victim blame her and called her a liar during her legal dispute with Tory Lane, who was recently convicted to 10 years in prison for shooting her in the foot. So a lot of her fellow rappers and other people in the industry, even her best friend, said Megan's a liar. They didn't believe her. They've said all this stuff. And this is amongst, like, she recently lost her mother, her grandmother. She was going through it. She was dating someone who was cheating on her. She was having a really hard time. So she came out of it stronger and made this song Hiss. So she released the song at midnight. And then the next morning, she called into the Breakfast Club with Charlamagne. And Charlamagne's like, Megan, who's this song about? And Megan said, it's nothing, like, it's not about anyone particular, but a hit dog's gonna holler, which is a very Texas saying. And oh boy, did a hit dog holler. There's a lyric in the Hiss song that says, these hoes don't be mad at Megan, these hoes are mad at Megan's law. This is apparently, so, you know, allegedly, a shot at Nicki Minaj, who is married to Kenneth Petty, a documented sex offender whom Nicki seemed adamant in making a part of her public persona. And Nicki Minaj's brother, who has been convicted of predatory sexual assault after being charged with allegedly assaulting his 11-year-old stepdaughter in their Long Island home. That's Nicki Minaj's background. And also, Nicki Minaj has this reputation of doing things with rappers like Kodak Black, who has been convicted for sexual assault, and Tekashi 6ix9ine. She recently made a song with him, and he has been accused of sexual assault. So she aligns herself with people. And Megan's Law refers to a federal policy that mandates law enforcement to make information on sexual predators public, named after Megan Kanka, a 7-year-old girl in 1994 who was stalked, sexually assaulted, and killed by a neighbor who had already been convicted for child molestation in New Jersey. So basically, after this law called Megan's Law, if you have anything on your record, you have to be in the sexual offender registry. So Megan Thee Stallion said, you're not mad at me, you're mad at Megan's Law. Well, In response, about an hour after that song was released, Nicki Minaj hopped on Instagram Live and started saying all kinds of shit, including teasing a song that has been since released called Bigfoot. And the lyrics are saying, "Bad bitch, she likes 6 foot. I call her Bigfoot. The bitch fell off. I said, get up on your good foot." So again, this is, you know, again, alluding that Megan Thee Stallion is cute because she's tall. That's why she's called the Stallion. That she has big feet, but also making fun of her getting shot in the foot by Tory Lanez, which is kind of ironic because for many, many months, Nicki Minaj said she was lying. So it's like, which one is it? So whatever. If it was just that she made a song in response to Megan Thee Stallion, that would not be why she would be nominated Grasshole. She would be just an asshole. But the thing that made Nicki a Grasshole is that she spent the entire weekend tweeting hundreds of tweets. She liked really awful tweets about how Megan is ugly, is a whore. She said that Megan let people like have sex with her unprotected for beats. The barbs are harassing anyone, and she's amping up this behavior of anyone who says anything critical about Nicki Minaj. There's rumors that her fans are finding the grave where Megan's mom is buried and have threatened to desecrate it. And Nicki's like liking those tweets. Nicki's getting AI images of a female Bigfoot, you know, trying to imply that Megan Thee Stallion is some kind of gorilla like monster. She's also threatened to shoot Megan Thee Stallion. This is so that's already bad. But if it wasn't bad enough, then she started fucking praising Ben Shapiro and saying, because Ben Shapiro came out with a satirical rap song and it was number one, whatever. And she was like, "Wow, Ben, this is a really great song," like immediately. And when her song finally came out yesterday, she, you know, and she was getting roasted because it wasn't good and it didn't get like the numbers that his got. Nicki Minaj blamed the release of the trailer for the Minions 4 movie burying her song. So there's a lot going on here. And before we discuss, there's this really great TikTok that I want to share. Really,
I often wonder how one of the greatest women rappers of all time turned into a hating, coked up hag. Allegedly. As someone that came up as a Barb and as a Nicki Minaj stan, and just seeing her come in, just taking it, bro, like taking the rap game as her own, new sounds, new styles, like just really not giving a fuck, just being authentically her, and seeing what she has evolved or devolved into, it makes me really sad. And it honestly makes me feel old. But this is what happens when you are not comfortable with yourself, when you are insecure, and when you don't understand that it's actually a good thing for there to be more women rappers. Like, this is actually a positive thing. I came up in an era where she was that girl. Like, it was just Nicki Minaj. I'm Nicki Minaj, Nicki Lewinsky. Like, it was her. Like, she was the end all be all. But now we are ushering in an era, partly thanks to her, where there are a bunch of different women rappers that have different sounds. And instead of just staying on the pedestal and being a legend, Beyonce status, she is just arguing and fussing and fighting and going on these rants. Like, this Twitter user has a list of people that she has beef with, and there's at least 40 names on this list. And it's just really sad to see. And it's just sad to watch someone so powerful just devolve into an old hater, bro. Like,
And to be fair, that video that I just shared was before all the tweets that I shared. So, how do you feel of us nominating Nicki Minaj for the Grasshole?
I mean, she's being a real grasshole, and I'm scared to say it because I'm scared of the barbs. But it's so crazy to me that people stan this hard.
Yeah.
There are artists and celebrities that I am like a fan of, mm-hmm. and the idea of threatening a stranger on their behalf, who could ever?
No, it's crazy.
It's insane. It's
like, I like, you know, whatever, Charlie XCX. but not enough to like say something crazy to someone that she had a tiff. Like, that's insane.
Insane. And okay, so here's but something.
First of all, need to touch grass too.
The barbs need to touch grass. Nicki Minaj, this is crazy. That girl made such a good point about like what Nicki Minaj could have been if she had just like kept elevating other women instead of fighting with every single person. That, first of all, people are not coming close to her status. Like, that is not the problem. They're not taking over.
It's arguable.
It's like, arguable.
In the hip-hop whatever, but yeah.
But I guess I don't think they would be if she had kept on, like, welcoming other people to the room.
Of course.
But then also, I am like, man, someone needs to finally, someone with nothing to lose. Like, this is what Nepo babies need to use their power for, right? Exactly. Like, how people were so excited that Dakota Johnson was the one to call out Ellen. Because she can't lose her status because she has, like, the Nepo baby powers behind her. Mm-hmm. This is, we need a Nepo baby to do, like, a true deep dive on the music industry. Because the way it makes people's brains leak out their ears is so insane. Like, what happened to Nicki Minaj? Like,
well,
what did they do?
Allegedly. Is that this is something that, you know, this is all alleged, please. But like, when you get a lot of plastic surgery, you have to take a lot of painkillers. It's really easy for a lot, you know, a lot of women feel this pressure to have a certain body, have a certain frame. She did get botched butt injections, which is super dangerous, super whatever. All this shit is very painful. That's like very public. But it's like, when you are constantly getting surgeries, keeping them up, whatever, you're on painkillers, it's very easy to become addicted to them.
Yeah.
So that is like kind of the discourse, is that there's some substance abuse happening.
There's substance abuse happening.
And also, like, again, because I feel like a lot of brand deal, you know, she's still Nicki Minaj, she's still going to get stuff. But like a lot of people, she was like almost, like, a you know, she was sued for extorting the woman, like, his her husband's victim, like, you know what I mean?
Yikes.
She so like a lot of people dissociated brands, like, whatever. So it was like there was a little fall of her, like, that like marketability and all that, and like, she, you know what I mean? So, but she chose to like double down on it and marry this guy and have a kid with him. Oof. But then and then also, like, with all the feuds that she's in, and they get nasty and whatever, it's just like that all like amalgamated to like this fall where she's just like, but you could have had all that stuff and still not be online like liking a teenage
tweet about desecrating someone's mom's grave. My God,
that's so dark. And here's the thing about three facts about Nicki Minaj. She's, first of all, like, Nicki Minaj, so super talented. Second of all, she's a millionaire. Third of all, she's a mom. Yeah. I'm going to say fourth, and then fourth, she's 40. She's 41. These are all things that you should
like
not
this.
Have to be online. If you are any of two of those things, you should be off. Like, do something else, bitch.
Do you know what that's so crazy? Is because me and Claire, my co-host for Celebrity Memoir Book Club, always talk about, like, the Chrissy Teigen of it all. The people who, like, cannot leave.
Yeah.
Even though they should. They have every opportunity to just, like, not be online. Because being online is so toxic and bad.
And I'm like, get a dark account, talk all your shit. It might get leaked. There's plausible deniability. Get a group chat, get whatever. I get it, you know, you feel like, and I feel this way with Cardi B. Like, Cardi B has said that, and I feel like that's someone who uses the internet really well, but then sometimes it gets like a little bit oversharing. But for the most part, she, you know, I get like her wanting to like fight back or say like, you're not allowed to just say shit to me and get away with it.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, get log off. Like you don't need anybody to be on here for, you know what I mean? And that's the line where it gets to grasshole. It's because Cardi B will post a lot. She'll post an Instagram live calling her baby daddy a piece of shit. But she's not trying to dox Pop Crave for saying, which is what Nicki Minaj has tried to do. She tried to dox Pop Crave and Pop Bass.
Oh,
and
God.
Like all this stuff, and like is like fighting with the Minions movie, like, which I was like, I had to verify that because I saw that and I'm like, whatever, but Minions 4 is coming out, not sure. Gru does have a son in the Minion 4 movie, so
interesting,
with his adopted daughters.
There was a Gru account that was like cyberbullying me the other day, and I was
really?
Like, wow, this is so funny.
Gru's pro Israel.
I yeah
oh well He's a villain.
I was like, it's actually so crazy that you're on here calling me a villain with like Groot as your friggin' profile picture.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, racist and troll accounts, like, they never use their profile picture. It's either of a cartoon or their child.
Do you know what's so funny is when it's like a gorgeous, like, this was even before all of the like Israel-Palestine conversation came up.
There was just Ashley, this... Ashley famously has been, she's been pro-Palestine very vocally, and she has been getting lots and lots,
a little bit of
backlash and harassment for it.
Fun conversations. Yeah. But, and I don't really respond to people because, like, for the most part, I am like, I don't know, man, if you're still commenting these things, you're like,
yeah.
No one's coming to me with, like, an actual conversation.
No.
And so, but anyway, like a year or so ago, there was this, like, golden retriever account. I think it was, like, Cooper the Golden or something that would just, like,
call you a
just, like, yes, all the time. And I eventually had to block them. But for a while, it kind of made me laugh to see, like, the cutest little golden retriever being, like, you long-faced, ugly bitch.
And it's, like, look. God, maybe it's Air Bud. Maybe Air Bud CTE got to him. And he's like not being himself. But I'm just like, okay, listen, God isn't telling you about crypto scams. And this golden retriever isn't calling me an ugly bitch. Like, let's get it together, guys.
Like, we have to just not, like, Nicki Minaj, you could just, like, not. You could just log off.
Also, if Nicki Minaj had a Finsta where it's a golden retriever, that'd be funny.
That'd be really funny.
That'd be really funny. But, yeah. Anyway, it's really sad. Like, I'm telling you, hundreds of deranged things. I wanted to count, but I just couldn't. Like, it was like,
yeah,
70 hours of, it's just manic at this point, which is, again, why people are like accusing substance abuse. So
that's the thing that makes me so sad, because I'm like, well, clearly something's not right.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, someone needs to, like, be on her side and gently take her phone away and say, let's do something else.
But also, like, you're a mom. Like, go play with your baby.
Go play with your baby.
Go play with your baby. Go touch grass. Go walk outside.
Do a puzzle, maybe.
Do a puzzle. You can't go to a park with your husband, but go do something. So, anyway, Nicki Minaj, say it with me, Ashley. Go touch grass. Yeah, so, again... Wow, it's been really crazy. Anyway, Ashley, before we go, tell people where they can find you, where they can follow you, where they can see pictures of your adorable dog, Bug.
Oh, she's so beautiful. We are at Ashley Ham with 3 M's on all social media. And then you can listen to Celebrity Memoir Book Club.
Yeah. And be sure to follow Ashley Hamilton, the girl. Not Ashley Hamilton, the boy, who, again, is hot. And I feel like, barring the things he spread,
he's hot in like a creepy old dude kind of way.
Yeah, because he is 50. But, and yeah, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Millie_Tamarez on Instagram and Millie_Tamarez on TikTok, or at Millie_Tamarez on Twitter, because I'm still there because I am mentally ill. Elise, you can follow Elise on Instagram at Pandalise. And on TikTok, and Elise as Elise Navidad, be sure to follow us, our podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on Instagram and TikTok. And if you like this podcast, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating or review on Spotify. And check out our Patreon for bonus content. This week, we got a really great episode, Search History Deep Dive, about Colleen Ballinger. And if you want to talk about someone who is cuckoo, and YouTubers and that whole thing, that's pretty freaking crazy. And Elise was very, you know, she said it was karmic retribution for me having to do the Bean Dad episode where I had to read 40 tweets from Bean Dad. That was her karmic retribution for that. So listen to it. And again, until next time, go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.